That's what it's all about, is God getting all the glory and praise and every knee bowing down to Jesus Christ. Kids are welcome to head back to Kids Church with Miss Jessica, and we're going to be in the book of Proverbs and a lot of other verses, just looking at the subject of pride. And I just want to open up, I don't have this in my on the screen, but you can open up to Philippians chapter 2, and you know, we've been singing it, and this is what it's all about. Paul says, Philippians 2, 5, have this mind among yourselves, which was yours in Christ Jesus, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a servant, being born in likeness of men. Being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him up, bestowed on him the name that is above every name. So the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, that every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And that's what you know, all creation is about. That's what all of us are here for, lifting Jesus high. And so this morning, why is pride important? Because it goes against what we're made for. And in fact, my hope is that we would all humble ourselves before the Lord this morning. That's the opposite of pride. And really, here's the point. At some point, there's going to be a day when every knee is going to bow. Everyone is going to be bowed down to God. Why wait for that day? Do it now willingly. Every tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Why wait for that day? This is what we were made for, bowing down and lifting him up. And so really, that's at the heart of the message. That's what at the heart of pride, that really is the counter to pride, is bowing down and lifting him up. So again, we're going to talk about pride this morning. And you're welcome to flip through. There's going to be a lot of scripture that we're going to look to, Lord willing. And they're going to be up on the screen, so maybe just write them down if you can't look them up yourself, or just look on the screen. And so the first thing we need to talk about, a lot of questions we're going to ask. What is pride, right? It's an important thing to look at if we're going to study it and really dig it out of our hearts and replace it with humility. What is it? And today we're talking about sinful pride. You know, we use pride in the sense, in a good sense, like we take pride in our work. You know, there's a good sense of pride where you're like, yeah, you really want to really do good work. You want to have a good satisfaction in your work. There's certain things we take pride in, and it can be a good thing. In fact, even Paul takes pride in several churches. You know, the Corinth church, the Thessalonian church, the Philippian church. You know, he boasts about them. He takes pride in them because, man, he cares, and they mean a lot to him. He's thankful for them. And so we're not talking about that. What we're talking about this morning is sinful pride. And there's not a single word in Proverbs that defines it. There's like eight or nine. There's a bunch of different words. In fact, they're translated into several different English words. You'll probably see pride, it shows up a lot, arrogance or haughty. We don't use that word as much, being haughty. Actually, there's one verse that talks about exalting yourself. And it's interesting, each one of those kind of gets at the same thing, though. Kind of the common theme with each of these words is lifting yourself up. And so when I was reading that Philippians, you know, like, what were we made to do? We're supposed to lift something up, but it's not ourselves. It's we're supposed to lift up Jesus Christ. We're supposed to raise him up, praise him, glorify him. But pride is lifting yourself up. It's like exalting yourself. And all those kind of get to it. In fact, there's one Proverbs 21:24, that has five different words. It says scoffer. The scoffer in Proverbs is that arrogant person. It's the one who scoffs at God and looks down on others. So that's one word, is the name of the arrogant. So there's the next word. Again, that one means lifted up. Haughty man who acts with arrogant pride. All of those words get at that point. In fact, that second word for arrogant is a different word than the first one. And that one's a little bit more unique. It's like arrogance, but it results in boiling over anger and hatred. So it's like you're so prideful that you boil over in anger towards others. But each one of those kind of gets at this heart of lifting yourself up. And that's what really pride is. And I kind of have a definition there for you. It's an elevated view of oneself. They say high, exalted, lofty, raised up high above. Several times in the Old Testament, it talks about high mountains or even the heavens lifted up. It uses these words. And so when we lift ourselves up, put ourselves on the mountaintops, try to ascend ourselves to heaven, that is pride. And so the prideful person really is the person who is self-centered and thinks too highly of themselves, okay? And it's interesting, it's like the opposite of humility. Humility is defined of one who lowers himself. And so really think spatially. Pride is lifting yourself up. Humility is lowering yourself down before others. And throughout Proverbs, I just have one verse in there, but throughout Proverbs, you're going to see pride and humility contrasted. And so 11:2 says, when pride comes, then comes disgrace, but with the humble is wisdom. And so, yeah, pride and humility are antonyms. They're the complete opposite. What does it mean to be raised up too high? And I was trying to think, you know, different ways that we lift ourselves up. Sometimes it's that elevated view of your abilities. Like you think too highly of your abilities, or because of your abilities, you think you're better than others, right? Or you think you're too smart. You think you're actually smarter than you are. Or because you're smart, you look down on others. Like, wow, I am better than you. I am smarter than you. I take pride in my intelligence in the fact that I lift myself up higher than I should. And so we have an elevated view of our abilities sometimes, elevated view of our intelligence, or even our accomplishments, right? When we think they're too important or we take too much credit for them and we really want the glory for them, we have this elevated view of accomplishments. Sometimes it's just elevated view of importance, right? This prideful person comes in and they think they're more important than they really are. Their world revolves around them, right? They're at the center and they want everyone else to put them at the center. Their pride swells them up. It puffs them up. They think they're more important than they are. Sometimes it's just we think we're more righteous than we are, or we take pride in our self-righteousness. You know, I think of that the parable Jesus tells in Luke 18 about the self-righteous person, that Pharisee who goes to God and just prays, right, like, God, I'm so thankful that I'm not like other men. And so he's praying, but really it's just like flattery to himself. He basically tells God how good he is, right? That's the person that thinks they're more righteous than they really are, instead of that tax collector who just fell down, right? He just was humble before God. And so this morning, you know, like, do you have that elevated view of your abilities, intelligence, accomplishments, importance, righteousness, all these different things? In fact, you know, part of what happens when we have that elevated view is it kind of blinds us to who we really are, right? Because we're really not that smart. We're really not that intelligent. We're not that accomplished. In fact, really, we're not the one who brought all those things about. Everything we have is really a gift from God, right? And he deserves the credit and glory for it. But there's a Proverbs 30, 12, and 13 that really, it reminded me, like, man, pride blinds us to really who we are. And it says, there are those who are clean in their own eyes, but are not washed of their filth, right? And pride gets us to think, like, we're this dirty, filthy thing. And we're like, man, I'm so clean, right? Our pride swells us up and we don't even see who we really are. And then it describes it. It says, there are those, how lofty are their eyes, how high their eyelids lift. And so when we have that lofty pride and our eyelids lift up so high, we don't see ourselves accurately. And really, it's self-destructive, right? We can't really adjust or be who God wants us to be when we don't even know who we are. It also causes us to look down on others, right? If you're lifted up high above everyone else, when you look at them, where are they? They're down there, right? You know, that Pharisee that I mentioned in Luke 18, look at what Jesus says. It says, he also told them this parable. So this is leading up to it, to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous. Like they had this lofty view of their righteousness, and look what comes along with it, and treated others with contempt. When they thought that, man, I am so righteous, just naturally what comes along with that is you treat others with contempt. Because you think you're so good and you're looking down on everyone else. You know, what does God think about this? You know, when we raise ourselves up, when we lift ourselves up, well, Proverbs is really clear. He hates it. It calls it over and over, it's an abomination. In fact, when we're going through chapter 6, it said, you know, there are 6 things the Lord hates, 7 that are an abomination to him. It starts the list with this, haughty eyes, right? And then it goes and lists the rest of them, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, and then the next verses go on. But it starts with that. Like, God considers it an abomination. Like, this is something especially evil in his sight. In Proverbs 18, wisdom is speaking. It says, the fear of the Lord is the hatred of evil, pride and arrogance and the way of evil and perverted speech I hate. Like, it goes completely against God and against his wisdom. Proverbs 16:5 says, everyone who is arrogant in heart is an abomination to the Lord. Be assured he will not go unpunished. So God hates it. Like, God hates our pride. In fact, it says that he opposes the proud. He opposes the proud. Proverbs 3:34 says, towards the scornful, that's another word describing the prideful. Towards the scorners, he is scornful, but to the humble, he gives favor. Proverbs 15:25 says, the Lord tears down the house of the proud, but maintains the widow's boundaries. Proverbs 18:27 says, you save a humble, Psalm 18:27 says, for you save a humble people, but the haughty eyes you bring down. And so again, in Proverbs we see that, but throughout Scripture, like, God hates pride, and those who are proud, he promises he's going to humble. God hates pride and he opposes the proud, and it's the opposite with the humble. He lifts up, exalts the humble, but he opposes and brings down the proud. Why does he hate it so much? You know, I was thinking, like, what is it about pride that really gets at God, it grates at him? Why is our pride something that he hates and opposes, to where, like, if we have pride in our hearts, we're God's enemies, and we're his opponents? It's kind of a big picture thing, and so we'll look at a few different scriptures, but it really gets down to, like, the heart of why we're here. You know, I mentioned it at the very beginning, but why are we here? You know, we talk about our mission. Our mission as a church is to make disciples. You know, that's part of that. It is growing in him and leading others to him. But why do we want to do that? Why do we want to know Jesus? Why do we want to grow in Jesus? It's because, like, he is to be the center of everything. Like, when we are rightly related to him, we most glorify him. And so all creation was created to glorify God. Everything that exists. But the awesome thing is, as we as humanity were especially created, we were uniquely created as image bearers of God. And he made us for this special relationship with him. And it's through that relationship with him, when we are most rightly related to him, we most glorify him. And so we're here to glorify him. And let me just go through a couple of scriptures that really point that out. There's a bunch from Isaiah that I didn't put in. I had so many notes. It's like Isaiah just talks about God's glory, God's glory, God's glory. But I love Isaiah 43. It's a special passage. If you haven't read it, it's awesome. It talks about God's love for his people Israel, his care, his protection for his people Israel. But right in the middle of that passage, he answers the question, like, why did he create Israel? He says in verse 7, everyone who's called by my name, whom I created for my glory, whom I formed and made. Like, why did God choose Israel? Why did he save Israel? Why did he create Israel? Why did he create any of us, right? Because we're called by his name. He created us for his glory. Like he wanted us to love him. He loves us, all these different things. But there's something that trumps it all, that is above it all. He created us for his glory. Because God is all glorious. We've been singing like he deserves all praise. He deserves to be at the center on the throne, and everything surrounded him bowed down to him because he's greater than anything. All of this exists for his glory. Colossians 1:16 just describes Jesus. It says, "By him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things were created through him and for him." So why was I created? I was created for Jesus. Like, why were you created? Why were the mountains created? Why are the rivers, the seas? It was all for him. Like, we exist for him and for his glory. Ephesians 1 is an awesome passage. It just talks about God's love for us, his choosing of us, and what he's done for us. But in this passage in Ephesians 1, it has this like threefold chorus. It keeps coming back to this point that Paul wants to make. See if you can see it. In verse 6, he starts it. He says, "It's all to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has blessed us in the beloved." Then back in verse 12, it says, "So that we are to be the first to hope in Christ might be to the praise of his glory." And then he finishes in verse 14. It says, "Who is the guarantee," speaking of the Holy Spirit, "of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it, to the praise of his glory." Like, do you get a theme there? And again, look up that passage this week and get the full context. But there's a theme that's all to the praise of his glorious grace, to the praise of his glory, to the praise of his glory. Why are we here? Why did he create us? Why did he save us? Why did he give us his spirit? To the praise of his glory. I love Romans 11:36, just lays it out. "For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be glory forever. Amen." And then all the way at the end in Revelation 4:11 says, "Worthy are you, O Lord our God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they existed and were created." He's made everything, and why did he make it? That he might get all the glory and praise. So that's a few verses just really re-emphasizing that point. You'll see it throughout Scripture. It's for the glory of God that we're here. So what does that have to do with pride? Okay, we're getting back to the theme of pride. What is it about pride that would make me talk about that? Well, pride really is an attempt to steal glory from God rather than give glory to God. And so pride is really an attempt to steal glory rather than to reflect God's glory. It says that I deserve praise rather than I give praise to God. That I want to be at the center rather than I put Jesus at the center. I want to lead my life rather than I want to submit to him. I want to be exalted rather than I want to bow down before him. Pride really gets at the exact opposite of why we're here. Like, think about it. Like, if we're here to praise God and we would do the exact opposite of praise God, we would praise ourselves. Man, God, who's all glorious and deserves, rightly deserves all praise, yeah, he would consider that an abomination. Yeah, he would oppose those who lift themselves up. In fact, at the very end, we just read it in Philippians 2, it says that everyone who is lifted up is going to be brought down. I didn't read it, but in Isaiah 2, it talks about the day of the Lord, and a big theme of the day of the Lord is everything lofty and lifted up is going to be brought low. God is going to get all the glory and praise in the end. And so anyone who seeks to all the glory and praise, who lifts themselves up, God's going to bring you down. And so my hope and my prayer for each of us is, hey, let's willingly get on board with God's program. Let's bow down before him rather than lifting up our kingdom for our glory and praise. And so we're here to bring glory and praise. And so you'll see it. I have two other passages in Isaiah 42:8 just really lays it out. It says, "I'm the Lord. That's my name. My glory I give to no other, nor my praise to carved idols." God wants the glory and praise. He's like, I'm not willing to part with it. He deserves it. And so when it's stolen, when it's given to something else, he's like, I'm not going to give it out. He deserves it. He He emphasizes it again in 48:11. It says, for my own sake I do it. How should my name be profaned? My glory I will not give to another. And so pride says that I deserve the glory and praise. I lift myself up, and in doing so, I push others down, and I steal from God. I kind of think about it like the moon versus the sun, right? The moon is amazing. You go out at night, especially a full moon. It's so bright and beautiful. But really, the moon is a reflection of the sun, right? In fact, it's revolving around the earth, which is revolving around the sun. It's really a beautiful reflection of the glory of the sun as it revolves around the sun. But the sun, it's at the center, right? Everything's supposed to revolve around it. It is all bright, all glorious, all praiseworthy. And so I kind of think about us being the moon, God being the sun. We're supposed to orbit, and we're supposed to reflect his glory, but he's supposed to be at the center. He's supposed to be the focal point. And so it's like the moon saying, I don't need you, sun. I'm going to go off and I'm going to set up my own kingdom. When the moon runs away from the sun, it's not going to be very bright, is it? It's not going to fulfill its purpose, is it? And that's what we try to do when we try to be the center of our universe. You know, I was thinking about Satan's downfall, and I thought that was a really fitting picture for really that symptom of pride. That was his downfall. In fact, there's two passages, and again, they're not overt. Like, there's not a lot about Satan, like who he was. We know he's a special angel, but there's two that really we point to and say, this really describes what happened with him. In Ezekiel 28 and Isaiah 14, Ezekiel 28 starts talking about the prince of Tyre. And then in the middle of it, it starts to say, okay, you were there in the garden. And so we're like, okay, wait a second. Maybe he's talking about the king of Tyre, but maybe somebody else. And then it becomes very clear that he goes from the prince to Satan. But even in the beginning of it, look, it says, son of man, say to the prince of Tyre, thus says the Lord God, because your heart is proud and you've said, I'm a god, I sit in the seat of the gods, in the heart of the seas, yet you are but a man and no God, though you make your heart like the heart of God. And so then later on, when it starts talking about Satan, it says, your heart was proud because of your beauty. You corrupted your wisdom for the sake of your splendor. I cast you to the ground. I exposed you before kings to feast their eyes on you. And man, like that just hit me. It's like, what got to Satan? Like, God created him this beautiful, high, exalted angel, but really, what was he there for? He was created amazingly so that he would praise God amazingly. And so even when he saw, like, his beauty, it was like, man, God is so great, right? But somewhere along the line, there was this moment, instead of looking at the throne and saying, like, God is so great, he looked at himself and he took the eyes off of God and put it on himself and didn't give God glory, and he took glory. And he says, like, look at me. Look at who I am. And that really describes to me the heart of pride. And then Isaiah 14, you know, it starts talking about the king of Babylon. But then it says in verse 12, how you are fallen from heaven, O day star, son of dawn, how you're cut down to the ground, you who laid the nations low. You said in your heart, I will ascend to heaven above the stars of God. I'll set my throne on high. I'll sit on the mount assembly in the far reaches of the north. I'll ascend above the heights of the clouds. I'll make myself like the Most High. But you are brought low down to Sheol, to the far reaches of the pit. And to me, like, yeah, that's pride. That's just pride. Like, it's like, how high can I get? How independent can I get? I want to be high above all. That's what pride means, lifting yourself up. So pride is this assault on the glory of God. It tries to take what we're supposed to give to God alone. So why should we refuse pride? Why embrace humility? Well, I have a bunch of different reasons, but like first and foremost, like hopefully, like we're all here, and I think we are because we want to please God, right? We're here because we want to please God. Hopefully you want God to get all the glory and praise. And so hopefully this morning with pride, it's just that reminder, man, God is so good. I need to praise him. Everything I have is a gift from him. I am so thankful for him. Jesus said, you know, if you love me, you'll obey my commandments. Well, God hates pride. So if you want to please him, that's a first reason why you would want to refuse pride and embrace humility. Second, we've talked about it. We want God on our side. Just like practically speaking, you know, like on the playground, when you're choosing teams for dodgeball, and you know there's that person that's really, really good at dodgeball, you're like, I want them on my team. You don't want them on the other side throwing dodgeballs at you. And he made it really clear, like, what does God do? He opposes the proud, that word oppose, like he's your opponent. Like, stop and think about that for a second. Like, so many times we're like, man, I want God on my side. I want him to help me with this. Well, if you're prideful, God promises you something. He's going to oppose you. But if you're humble, he promises you something else. He's going to give you grace. So if for no other reason, like to humble yourself before God, you want him on your side. You want him to give you his grace, not to oppose you. So we want him on our side. And here's a cool thing. God's glory, remember, that's what we're all about. That's why we're here. It's our good. It's one of those things, and kind of the amazing things is it's not mutually exclusive. We think, like, man, when I'm at the center, that's when I'm going to be most satisfied. No, you weren't made for that. When you're not doing what you're made to do, you're not happy, you're not satisfied, you're not living out your purpose. And so when you live out your purpose of glorifying God, that's when you find your significance, worth, and value. That's for your good. I love Micah 6:8. It says, he's told you, oh man, what is good? Like, what is really good? What's for your good and his glory? It says, what does the Lord require of you but to do justice, to love kindness, and walk humbly before your God? Like, that's good. It's good when we walk humbly before God. You know, kind of think about it, you know, different tools are made for different purposes. We were made to glorify God. You know, hammers are awesome when you have a nail, right? When you need a nail put into a piece of wood. If you go out at Christmas time and you're ready to cut down that Christmas tree and you have a hammer, you're going to be pretty frustrated, right? I can hit a tree really 100 times and I'm going to be frustrated. I need a saw. And when I get a saw and I start cutting into that tree, like, man, that's awesome. It's doing what it's supposed to do. And there's a satisfying feeling when you see the sawdust coming out and it's swiftly and moving through and cutting and the tree comes down. It's like, wow, that's awesome. That's what it's made to do. And that's us. Like, when we glorify God, we're most satisfied in God. It's not mutually exclusive. It goes hand in hand. Another reason pride is self-destructive, just for the reason, like, do you like to destroy yourself? We think, like, when we're prideful, like, we're going to save ourselves. Like, there's several proverbs that just reminds you, like, you're setting yourself up for destruction. Proverbs 16:18 is probably one of the most common verses on pride. It says, pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. Like, it sets you up for a fall. And we all know, like, that feeling of when you fall, the embarrassment and the pain involved. When you lift yourself up, you're setting yourself up for destruction. You're setting yourself up to fall. In the New Testament, 1 Corinthians 10:12, I don't have it here, but it says, whoever thinks he stands. Now, that's the prideful person. It's like, man, I got this. And it says, take heed. It's like, be careful lest he should fall. Like, when you think, man, I got this, you better watch out, because that's pride, and you're setting yourself up. It's self-destructive. Proverbs 26:12 says, do you see a man who's wise in his own eyes? There's more hope for a fool than for him. Like, man, there is no hope for that guy. Proverbs 29:23 says, one's pride will bring him low. Eventually, it's going to be your downfall. Like, what brings him low? It's his pride. It's that very pride that thinks he's lifting himself. It's going to be the thing that brings him low. And then the flip side, but one who is lowly in spirit will obtain honor. Proverbs 14:12, there's a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way to death. In fact, there's another Proverbs 16:25 that is an exact word for word repeat of that. And I'm like, why do we need that twice? because we got a lot of pride. Like, we need that. You need that more than twice. Like, he repeats that exact verse later because we need it over and over. Man, in my own pride, I think I'm always right. But my very pride that makes me think I'm right is leading me towards death and destruction. It's self-destructive. Another reason, like, if you're prideful, God is going to humble you. He humbles the proud, but he gives grace and lifts up the humble. In addition to those proverbs, Jesus said it himself, Matthew 23:12, whoever exalts himself will be humbled, but whoever humbles himself will be exalted. You know, I have on the homework on the backside King Nebuchadnezzar in Daniel 4. And he's a living, walking example of that, right? God gave him so much. God was so good to him. And there's one day, it records it. Actually, before that, Daniel warns him, hey, watch out. He has this dream of being brought low. He's like, watch out for pride. But there's this one day he's looking out and he's like, man, look at all this stuff. And maybe you know the end of that. At that very moment, God says, all this is going to be taken away. And God humbles him. And so he gets to the point where he is down like a beast, I think for 7 years. Down like a beast, eating the grass. Like, how low can you get? And at the very end of it, he finally looks up. And again, it's looking up. When you're down, you're finally ready to look up. And so don't be like him. Learn the lesson before. But if you have been down low, finally, would you look up? He humbles the proud, but lifts up the humble. And what better example is Jesus? We talked about it in Philippians 2:8. It says, being found in human form, he humbled himself, becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. Like, if I, just being me, am called to humble myself, what better can I think I am than Jesus? Like, I'm here, but where's God? Jesus? Jesus is the highest possible thing. He's God. And he was willing to go low. In fact, he was willing to lower himself. Man, why would I think I'm better than that? Why would I think I shouldn't follow that example? If Jesus brought himself low, then who am I to think I shouldn't have to bring myself low? And so Jesus came as the example. He says, follow my example. And in Mark 10:45, it says, even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. So Jesus set the example, the ultimate example of humility and giving up what he had, lowering himself down for us. Well, this morning, I don't know if you're thinking like, man, I don't think I have this. I think I'm good. Or maybe you're thinking, okay, maybe I have a problem. Maybe I need to work on this. I think if you're here this morning, you probably have a problem with pride. Like, I think we have a problem, but I want to just give us a few tests. There are a few proverbs that I'm like, yeah, that's a good test. Just to see maybe if you have this problem. First question, how often do you seek your own glory? Like, how often do you seek your own glory? Proverbs 25:27 says, it's not good to eat much honey, nor is it glorious to seek one's own glory. Like, don't do it. Do you find yourself in the middle of the room? Like, how can I get myself into the center of the room? Or how do you respond when someone else is in the center of the room? Do you like try to always butt in and try to make, I have to be in the center? That's called seeking your own glory. Do you struggle with seeking your own glory? Do you struggle with others getting credit? Do you find yourself hard-pressed to give credit to others and especially to God? Next one, Proverbs 27:2 reminds us, like, how often do you praise yourself? How often do you brag about your own accomplishments? Proverbs 27:2 says, let another praise you and not your own mouth, a stranger and not your own lips. It's like, don't praise yourself. Don't brag. Don't do it. If you find yourself, like, the words coming out your mouth, like, you know what? That's bragging. Yeah. And Jesus or God says in Proverbs, don't do it. Don't praise yourself. Don't brag. How often do you take credit for things God has done? For this one, I gave you that passage in Daniel instead of Proverbs. It's just this picture of King Nebuchadnezzar. It says, at the end of 12 months, he was walking on the roof of the royal palace of Babylon. And the king answered and said, man, is this not great Babylon, which I have built by my mighty power as a royal residence and for the glory of of my majesty. Look at all that glory going to him, all the praise going. Like, he's like, this is all mine that I've built, and it's all for me. Like, how God was so good to him. Yeah, he built all those things, but he only built it by the things that God had given him and through and for God's glory. And so how often do you take credit and do you fail to give credit to God? At the end of that, I didn't put it in there, but he says, God deserves all glory and praise. He exalts God of heaven. He looks up to the God of heaven. Proverbs 27:21 reminds us, how do you handle praise? You know, when someone praises you, what does it do to you? It says, the crucible is for silver, the furnace is for gold. And so again, those things are fitting for that. And it says, a man is tested by his praise. Like, there's one thing that's going to test you, maybe even more than anything else. What do you do when people praise you? What are you going to do with it? And again, like, that happens, and sometimes we get this false humility where someone says, like, man, you did really good at that basketball game. Or, man, I love that dress. That's so beautiful. And we say, oh, no, that's horrible. Like, we refuse that. We say it's not, like, we have this false humility. What we should do is, like, we acknowledge it, but we always turn it around. In fact, our goal in it is at the end of the day, at the end of the conversation, at the end of the moment, we want people left with God on their minds, not us. We want to give God credit, not ourselves. We want to make sure everyone knows, like, God is good and God deserves glory and praise. And so, yeah, acknowledge it. Like, say, yes, thank you so much. I am so thankful, and God has been so good, and he, you know, you can say it however you want, but make sure you don't leave it with yourself. And there's something that tests us. It's pride. Here's a tough one. How often do you go to others for advice? How do you handle it when they give it? Maybe it's advice, maybe it's criticism. Proverbs 15:12 says, a scoffer does not like to be reproved. He will not go to the wise. And you can see that prideful person, like, no matter what, I am not going to go ask anyone. You know, I'm not going to go to the wise. The wise is where the answer is. They refuse, though. I'm not going to ask for help. Proverbs 13:1 says, a wise son hears his father's instruction, but a scoffer does not listen to rebuke. Proverbs 23:9, do not speak in the hearing of a fool, for he will despise the good sense of your words. It's like, it doesn't even matter. They don't want to hear it. Here's a couple more. How well do you learn from your mistakes? You know, we all make mistakes. We want to learn from it. Proverbs 17:10 says, a rebuke goes deeper into the man of understanding than 100 blows into a fool. Like that fool, the person who is just self-confident, they make the same mistake over and over, and everyone's like, hey, try it differently. And they won't try it differently. They won't listen, and they keep doing it over and over. Like, do you find yourself making the same mistakes over and over because you won't listen? And then finally, that last one, who do you lean on when you don't know what to do? Like, don't go to yourself for advice. Who do you lean, like, when you don't know what to do? Like, man, I don't know what to do. All the way back, one of the most amazing Proverbs, Proverbs 3:5, says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord. Turn away from evil. That's what fearing the Lord is. That's what really listening to him is. I trust in him. I don't trust myself. I know I can make mistakes. I don't trust my wisdom. I don't trust my understanding. God, I need you. I think along with this one, you know, who do you lean on when you don't know what to do? Maybe one of the biggest tests is, like, how often do you pray? Like, if you go all day, all week, like, you don't find yourself asking God for much. You don't find yourself dependent on him for much. You're pretty self-sufficient. The self-sufficient person is the person that doesn't need God, right? Psalms talks about the fool who says there is no God, right? And not many of us would say there's no God, but sometimes we live like there's no God. Like, living, really saying there's no God, really, do we live like it? If you don't depend on him for your daily bread, then you live like he's not there. If you don't find yourself needing anything from him, living independently from him, you're treating him like you don't need him. And so someone who doesn't lean on their own understanding, that trust in the Lord with all their heart, there's this constant back and forth dependency on God in prayer. Okay, maybe some of those hit home. A lot of them hit home with me. End of the day, kind of what we're going to leave with, what can we do about it? Hopefully we all acknowledge, like, I got a pride problem. I need to be brought down a notch or two. I love this in Proverbs 30:32. The first reminder, okay, stop, okay? Just stop doing it. It says, if you've been foolish, exalting yourself, or if you've been devising evil, put your hand on your mouth, right? Like, you've been praising yourself, you've been exalting yourself. Like, the first step is just stop doing it. You can't praise yourself, you can't exalt yourself if your hand's on your mouth. And really, there's more to it, right, than just walking around with their hands on your mouth. But it's really, like, stop. And really what that means is, like, knowing it's wrong, because at the end of the day, we often brag, we often swell up, but we excuse it, right? We ignore it. But really, if I'm going to put my hand, I acknowledge it, like, man, God, I just stole some praise from you, and I don't want to do it. And so really that stop really means, like, stop, but then stop and confess to God, repent of it, ask the Holy Spirit to help you, and then choose to exchange it for something else. Like, God, I'm going to put my hand on my mouth because I don't want to praise myself anymore. And I'm sorry, but please help me to put my praise on you. And then this is the biggest thing. Live for the glory of God. Like, kind of be mindful throughout your day. Like, how can I point others to him? How can I make his name great, not my name great? How can I make my life orbit around him? How can I show others where the true center of the universe is? Live for the glory of God. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 10:31, so whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, that's key, whatever you do, do it all to the glory of God. Like, if we can eat to the glory of God, if we can drink to the glory of God, we can do anything to the glory of God, right? So whatever you do, kind of be mindful, like, God deserves glory and praise. So, like, even the things that we enjoy, thank him for it, right? Part of just, like, going through life, like, man, that was awesome. Thank you, God. That's giving him glory and praise. Whatever you do, do it for the glory of God. Second or third, embrace humility. That's a great cure for pride. Like, choose to lower yourself down. It's the exact opposite. Instead of lifting yourself up, say, like, how can I lower myself down a notch or two? Embrace humility. Do nothing, Philippians 2:3 says, from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Like, lower yourself, like, really lower yourself down. So instead of looking down on others, now you're looking up at others. And when you're looking up at others, you're going to be willing to serve others. And so embrace humility. Now, like, find opportunities to serve. There's nothing that's going to teach you humility like serving other people. Because when I want to be served, I really think I deserve it. You're lower than me. When I willingly place myself lower than you and serve you, I'm going to come away with a lesson. I'm going to come away with a reminder that something's going to get imprinted on my heart, this servant heart that Jesus came with. He called himself lowly. It's because he came as a servant. So find opportunities. You know, I mentioned Mark 10:45 where it says, even the Son of Man came not to serve, but to be, or not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life for a ransom for many. What led up to that was the disciples were wanting to be in the top spot. And so in verse 42, it says, Jesus called them, said to them, you know, those who are considered rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them. See the height? The great ones exercise authority over them. But it shall not be so among you. Whoever would be great among you must be your servant. Whoever would be first among you must be slave of all. And then he says, for even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. He's like, guys, this is how the world works. Everyone wants to get to the top. That's what pride wants to do. Let's flip the script. And how can we flip the script today in our families, at work tomorrow? Like, in the body of Christ, how can we flip the script? The person that you wanted to get served by, like, just do the crazy thing, serve them. And something's going to be happened. You're going to learn something, and God's going to get glory and praise. Next one, welcome criticism. Proverbs 12:1 says, whoever loves discipline loves knowledge, but he who hates reproof is stupid. Like, don't be stupid. Like, and that's what pride does. We think it's going to, man, if I lower myself down, if I admit that I made a mistake, people are going to think less of me. Everyone sees it and they think you're stupid. Like, when you lower yourself down and listen, that's when you're going to grow and get something out of it. So listen to criticism. Don't be stupid. Welcome it. And then be willing to listen. Proverbs 12:15 says, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but a wise man listens to advice. The prideful never listen. So welcome that criticism and try to grow from it and listen. You don't have to agree with what they have to say. You can filter it, but really consider it. Really listen to what they have to say. And then finally, trust in God alone. Just what we said in Proverbs 3:5-7, but then also Proverbs 21:2 says, every way of a man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the heart. Proverbs 28:26 says, whoever trusts in his own mind is a fool, but he who walks in wisdom will be delivered. It's like, man, how can I humble myself before God and lift him up? I can trust him. I'm not going to trust in myself anymore. I'm going to go to him and say, God, I need you. I need you every hour. I need you. So what is that going to look like for you this week? I think we all have a problem. Pride, really, if you think about it, is at the root of all kinds of evil, right? Like, all of them have this root where we think, man, I can do it my way rather than God's way. I know what's best. So it roots itself into so much of our life. How can you lower yourself down today? How are you lifted up? So stop it. Live for glory of God. Embrace humility. Serve others. Welcome criticism. Be willing to listen and trust in God alone. Let's pray. God, you deserve all the glory and praise this morning. And even as we leave this place in our lives, the world that we're going into, all creation, you alone deserve the glory. And so, God, we don't want to steal glory anymore. We don't want to try to steal the spotlight. We want to shine the spotlight on Jesus Christ. So, God, I pray for our attitudes, for our hearts, for our minds, for the ways that we've been stealing glory. God, please forgive us and help us to shine for you, to reflect your glory, to make your name great. We want you to be praised in our lives. And we know that's the end of the story, where every knee is bowed and every tongue confesses that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. And so we want to do that right here and right now. We'll praise you alone. In Jesus' name, amen.